Guys, welcome back to the LFC Transfer Room podcast. My name's Liam. As always, I'm your host and joined again by Firmino's number one fan, Tommy Lister. Your mate was injured. How do you feel?
Not feeling too good today because Liverpool are playing tomorrow. But other than that, I'm being good. I'll ignore the Firmino injury dig joke, but yeah, I'm doing good.
It's probably for the best the way that the fans have been going at him recently. But we're also joined, of course, by the fact man himself, Richie. How are we?
Yeah, okay, thank you. The less said about the weekend, the better. On to the next one, Leipzig, and hopefully we get through. I'm sure we will.
I mean, the way that the since the away leg, the way that the games have been going, I'm leaning more towards, oh my God, they're actually going to overturn this 2-0 now, and I just can't bear to think like this. But we will jump straight into it, and less of the depressing news, and I've just looked at the first thing on our agenda. Rumours of Mr. Mo Salah out the exit door. I mean, what do we make of that? He's been, for me, one of the only ones who can actually say, like, yeah, I've done some at this season, especially since Christmas. Richie, what do you make of these rumours?
Yeah, well, they came from everywhere, really. Eurosport, Daily Express, TalkSport, The Mirror, basically saying, yeah, Mo Salah's heading for the Anfield doors. And I don't think his agent really helped that situation. You know, and obviously it all came about, the speculation after he was substituted in the defeat to Chelsea. His agent put a full stop on Twitter again. You know, it's so juvenile and I think childish, and it's taken a bit of a play out of Mino's playbook, really. Salah's been a superstar for Liverpool in recent seasons, but he's brilliant, and he has been linked away to Madrid and Barcelona because he's one of the best players in the world. Klopp has said, though, that there's nothing to worry about. It was always like this. His quote that I found really interesting was, "I know we have loyalty from the players." And I think Klopp speaks volumes. I don't think he would lie. I think he's quite, you know, direct about that. The Eurosport report, though, went on to say that Barcelona have, obviously, the presidential elections that was last night by the time we're recording this. And that almost is a little bit of a swing. We know how the Barcelona presidential elections work. You know, they promise certain things and that's why they usually get voted in. So that would be quite interesting to see what was said. I think Real Madrid are billions and billions, not quite billions, but millions of pounds in debt, close to a billion though, nearly almost £1 billion in debt. So again, who can afford him? That's the key question, really. Salah might want to go, but transfer market values him at 108 million at the moment. I think maybe he's slightly more. His contract runs out in 2023, so we don't have to sell him. We know that we won't be forced to sell him as well. And who's going to be able to afford him? You know,
I know one team who could, and they just happen to have a little French lad that I'd quite fancy in red.
Yeah, I agree. And again, it's one of, I don't think I'd replace Salah with him quite yet, because, like, you know, Salah is still young. He's still in his prime. He goes underrated. A lot of people who are saying, oh, let Salah go if he wants to go. You have to remember that he scored 92 Premier League goals in 148 games and 36 assists. You know, it's just incomparable. Salah's numbers go so unnoticed. I think because of that 32 goals in his opening season, he's still now the Premier League top goal scorer. And Liverpool haven't scored for about a year, you know. I think he's always going to be linked with a move away. Whenever we get in this slump, we're probably, you know, not going to win the league. We might not even qualify for the Champions
League. Probably. You just realised.
we might not qualify for the Champions League. So players are always going to be linked away, I think. The thing that comes down to it, does Salah want to leave? Tommy, what do you think?
I mean, Richie covered most of what I was going to say as well. So I think you're spot on that at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the fact no one can afford him. And on that, I also, on his agent, I think it's just sort of attention seeking. And equally, Salah came off early, which was the wrong decision regardless. And I'm sure he could have played on, but he was the only one in the front three that started 3 days later. So it's also, Klopp was probably just had in mind, you know, he had a rest. And anytime anything happens with Salah or Mane, the cameras are on him straight away and everyone's desperate to, you know, force a story like he's going to leave and stuff. And I think that quote from Klopp that you've just mentioned about his loyalty, I'm sure that, like you say, Klopp's not going to say that for no reason. And I can't see him leaving definitely in the summer. I think we'll have at least one more season. I'm not worried about him leaving personally.
Yeah, it just stinks of the whole, like the aftermath of that Burnley game. Was it
Yeah,
when
yeah,
Salah
yeah.
should have squared to Mane, and then Mane ended up getting subbed, and he was fuming, and everyone's like, "Oh, well, there's a rift between the two. Mane wants to leave." It just stinks of that kind of situation, and it's something in terms of like players leaving if we don't end up getting top four. It's something that I tweeted about, like jokingly tweeted about at the beginning of this sort of slump, and now I'm thinking like, oh God, is this going to happen? Are we going to have like a mass exodus? And then I'm thinking about it. Well, no, because of the type of people that Klopp goes for, and the atmosphere around the club as a whole, and the sort of the just how much of a team they are. Like I just can't see like someone wanting to leave just because of one slump. Like Hazard went through a lot of slumps with Chelsea, and he only left like 2 seasons ago. And we've got like a team of world-class players who are still, a lot of them yet to come back, haven't been playing in the natural positions. Things can only get better for me next season. And I think, like Klopp said, if they want to leave, let them. But being realistic, I'd like to
Let's
think they'd
say,
stick
please don't let him.
around. Sorry?
Ideally, don't let Salah leave. Even if he
Yeah.
wants to, just chain him into the basement. He's not.
Yeah, ideally. But it's like, if you don't want to be here, then fine. Liverpool were here be long before Salah, and we'll be here after him as well.
We
But
do replace people surprisingly well. I thought we'd never get someone better than Suarez, and although Salah's maybe not technically better, it's sort of a valid replacement, and it happens with everyone. So yeah, he's spot on
I
there.
again, it might, I think Salah is miles better than Suarez. I really do. It's his work rate across the pitch. It's everything. He
Richie, it's not your unpopular opinion this
no,
week, mate.
I know, but I will die on this hill that Salah is so much more impactful than Suarez ever was for Liverpool. Maybe not, Suarez ever, yeah.
Impactful.
Not a better player, but I know exactly what you mean. But as a
Yeah.
footballer, he's not better.
I think
No.
he's contributed to Liverpool far more than Luis
He
Suarez. Yeah,
will have a bigger Anfield legacy than Suarez does,
but
of
Salah
course,
didn't spend a
but
Brendan Rodgers.
I put it this way,
yeah.
I would be more upset to see Salah leave than I was when I saw Suarez leave.
I get that. That's understandable. It's understandable.
Yeah. It'd probably be like on a par for me.
Yeah, same.
But
Heartbroken both times.
well, saying
yeah.
that, if he goes to, I don't know, PSG, then for millions and millions, £200 million, and they throw Mbappe in, then yeah.
You're overestimating how good Michael Edwards is there. I don't think even he could pull that deal off. But yeah, enough on the sad news. Let's look to an incoming or a potential incoming player. Once again, it's a midfielder. This time it's Hussein Aouar from Lyon, who I'm sure we're all aware of after the whole transfer saga surrounding him and Arsenal last summer. But it's again one that we've been linked to, and it's likely going to be that Gini Wijnaldum replacement that we were looking at. Tommy, do you want to take the reins on this one?
I think Aouar would be absolutely perfect as a Wijnaldum replacement. He's young. He's like that. He's the perfect age sort of mold that FSG or Klopp or whoever it is, the transfer team, look at when bringing in new players. That sort of, I think he's, is he somewhere between like 22,
22,
24.
he's
Yeah,
22,
yeah.
yeah.
He's going to be breaking up in towards his prime. He's got time on his side. Unbelievable dribbler, passer. Yeah, quality player. I don't know how much he'd be valued at. I think we've mentioned it before. That it looks like there's going to be some sort of financial crisis going on over in France, so I don't think it'd even take too much money to prize
Yeah,
him out.
well, last summer they turned down £35 million from Lyon,
Yeah.
and
From Lyon.
was it that?
From Arsenal.
From Arsenal, Lyon turned down 35 million. Yeah, sorry. But I think like their president come out and said something like it was like miles off or something along those lines. It was just well off what they were looking for. But like you say, with this all, which we discussed a few weeks ago, the whole TV deal situation in France, you're getting bargain players over there.
Yeah,
Richie Aouar, what do you make of him?
do you know what? It's one of those that I've been waiting for us to be linked with, because it was just a matter of time that we linked with this player who is, if he carries on the way he is, he's going to be, extremely exciting. He would fit into this Liverpool team perfectly as well. So it's one that I was waiting for, and Neil Jones from Goal, and it was from the Mirror as well, have both came out with this week that he is one that we are looking at, along with Yves Bissouma as well. So I'm sure we'll look at him as well. But it's one of those that he's only going to get better. He's already played 161 times for Lyon, and he scored 30 goals and got 30 assists. So again, he is that progressive third player that we need. And we say it every week, don't we, as well? We've got Neuhaus, we've gone through them all, I think, so far. So yeah, he's got a very good progressive passing percentile. He's in the 99th percentile for progressive passes. And really, it only looks like at the minute our current midfield, Naby Keita, is making those passes. What we mentioned last week, the Redbird deal is that Wasserman might just help who obviously, you know, Redbird, the new potential new owners, might come in, and Wasserman's on there. You know, they have a stock in them. He's actually represented by them as well. So that could help us out. But yeah, you're right. I think with what's going on in France at 35 million, Lyon might just snap that up now, especially because it's a year less on his contract as well. So yeah, I'd be more than happy with that. And, you know, he's a player that we need. I don't think there's any point in replacing a Gini Wijnaldum, because that's what we got Thiago for in the first place, you know, to recycle play, to be that almost, you know, conductor in the midfield. This is a completely different player, and I think he would suit the Liverpool team really well. Something interesting as well, averages 3 shots per game, and we are not shooting from midfield.
I also had that written down.
Yeah, and the goals have dried up, haven't they, at Anfield? And it can't just be about the front three all the time. Someone else has to chip in from midfield. So we say it every week, we need a goal-scoring midfielder to chip in with those goals. You know, this guy's got it. He's 22. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Tommy, you wanted to add something, didn't you?
Really quickly before I move on, I specifically remember Dave Maddock. I think he writes for the Mirror. He's mentioned in the past that he's a player we've monitored, scouted, and been heavily interested in. I know, especially as that's clearly a problem area, I honestly think that's a player we could really, you know, have serious interest in. I really hope it is, because it's as good as it gets, really, in that kind of category.
Yeah, and just one more, sorry. His versatility is something that will massively influence Klopp's decision as well, because he can play as central midfielder, he can play as a 10, and he can also play on the left. You know, so that versatile midfielder is exactly what Klopp likes. We know he likes versatility in his players.
Yeah. It's you mentioned obviously the sort of progressive type of midfielders that we've discussed, Richie. And when I was looking on FBref before we started recording, he was actually one of the players that he's like compared to, that they have like a list of 10. Rodrigo De Paul was one of them, and I was like, oh well, there's last week's. And then obviously, like you say, he's pretty similar to Neuhaus as well. I think he's probably a bit more direct, likes a shot, like you said as well, obviously. And Tommy, was it last week when you said about like we need basically like someone like Coutinho who's just going to be pinging him in? Like we'll move on from transfers now to the questions, or just basically same as last week. It's just been one question that we've been sent worded in about 100 different ways. Klopp out, essentially.
Yeah. I hate him. I've had enough.
By the way, no one take that little segment of me saying Klopp out and put it on no context Liverpool or something like that. Okay, I don't want Klopp out. For the record, this is what the fans have submitted to us. Richie, what can you say about this?
I mean, you do, Richie. I've just realised that I've said that, and I realise there's audio listeners who won't have seen my facial expression. I was joking.
Yeah, there's an eye rolling sarcasm in there. So yeah, I mean, let me just so we're not making it up, you know, let me throw a few things out there. The exact same thing happened with Klopp at Dortmund in his last season. Not playing players in their position has been a problem. Using the same team and formation over and over again has caused certain players injuries. A manager who keeps throwing out the same system over and over again and losing isn't the right man for the job anymore. And they're the
mate, what are you on about?
And they're the replies that we've obviously looked at from Twitter. Now, there's two ways.
Yeah, and there was loads of them. Just picked up a few there.
I've picked a few of them. And now, obviously, you know, Twitter goes mad, and the BBC 5 Live phone in as well, and TalkSport, they all go mad. And, you know, you don't have to look very far.
I'm convinced, like TalkSport and all that, like, just hire people to ring in. Like, oh, can you do a Scouse accent? Come ring us and say Klopp out or something like that. There's no way they're real fans.
So I asked quite a few people. There's two ways in which I'm going to look at this. And I'm going to focus on, you know, why Klopp shouldn't be sacked first. I don't think I really need to swing it. Remember
no arguments.
Liverpool were top of the league on Christmas Day. This is not a bad season. It's a dire 3 or 4 months. It is awful. I completely agree. But where people were saying it's the worst Liverpool side they've seen, or this is the biggest underachieving Liverpool side they've seen in, it's 4 months where we are in a COVID pandemic, where we are playing 3 games a week. We have now 21 different centre-back pairings. This is not on Jurgen Klopp. Klopp has, again, you know, the earliest title win in history, the most home wins won in a row, the fastest to 30 victories, the most victories in a Premier League season tied for Manchester City. There's no one in the world that could do that for Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp has. For me, even if Klopp finished 17th this season, I would back that man for the next 2-3 years because he is still the best thing that's happened to Liverpool Football Club in about 30 years. I would also get rid of every single one of those players before I got rid of Jurgen Klopp. And that's the way that I see it, because Dortmund learnt their lesson when Klopp left and they've never managed to regain whatever they had before. It's now not a two-horse race between Bayern and Dortmund. You've now got Leipzig in there, Mönchengladbach in there. They've not managed to find a manager like Klopp since, because there isn't anybody like Klopp. And Liverpool would be in the same position. So, which leads me on to my second point. I did tweet quite a few people saying, and replaced by who? And that was put in the group chat. It was literally just a whole page of me.
Yeah, my notifications was just your Twitter account saying, replaced by who? Replaced by who? Replaced by who? I was like, what is he doing? And I realised.
Well, obviously, a couple of people didn't reply. I don't know, but it needs to be somebody. Fair enough. But a lot of people replied.
Well, yeah, it's going to be somebody. We're not just going to go out there with no manager. What's that about?
Which leads me to my second point. Steven Gerrard. Now, obviously at the weekend, I'm so happy for him. He's lifted the title. He's stopped, you know, the rot for Rangers. Really happy. He looks like he might go invincible and hope he does. However, Steven Gerrard, I personally don't even think would want to replace Jurgen Klopp right now because he's not finished at Rangers. You know, Brendan Rodgers went over to Celtic and did a treble-treble. You're not telling me that Brendan Rodgers, Liverpool fans would want Brendan Rodgers back. So it's the same idea. You know, Gerrard's done less than Rodgers, but people want Gerrard back. Also, do people not remember what happened with Frank Lampard at Chelsea? It's too soon for Gerrard. I'd love nothing more than to see Gerrard as a Liverpool manager lifting the Champions League, lifting the Premier League. But it won't happen yet. So again, we need to get out of this idea that Gerrard is seen as our saviour, because A, I don't think we need saving. And B, he's not quite ready yet. Let's not rush it.
I mean, let's look at C as well, though. Like, C, obviously, before my time, but one manager and change that loads of people put that whole rut of the 90s on was Souness, who did he not come from Rangers? Managed at Rangers, probably won a league, came to Liverpool, absolutely collapsed the club for a decade and only really picked back up again once Houllier took over.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying Gerrard would do the same thing. But
no.
Let's learn from our mistakes.
You have to learn from your mistakes, as Dortmund have learned from their mistakes as well recently. Something else really quick that I want to point out. Jurgen Klopp has a 60% win ratio as Liverpool manager. That is higher than Benitez, who had 55, who's obviously seen as a legend, and quite rightly so. That's more than Bob Paisley, who had 57%, and again, a Liverpool icon. And more than Dalglish, who had 58%. Jurgen Klopp is one of the most successful managers. It isn't a rotting season because Klopp has lost his head. I get the frustration and I get the midfield playing in defence. I completely understand that. But for me, there is no one better. There is no one better than Jurgen Klopp to lead this team out of the rut. Tommy.
I do think that it is not even worth entertaining, like, at all. Like, the way I'm entertaining myself here, but there's not even a doubt in my mind that I don't think anyone even truly believes it themselves. I think it's just kids being, like, you know, dickheads on the internet. But I will pick up on something you said, that some of this, although Klopp is the man, you know, the way forward, I do think that he is to blame for some of this. Injuries definitely deserve our title race.
Yeah, for the people who are listening on Spotify, they wouldn't have seen mine and Tommy's face when you said, oh, Klopp's not to blame. And we've all just kind of went, he is a little bit, though.
He's not faultless. He's not entirely faultless. And my only criticism of Klopp in his sort of whole tenure here has been the fact that I think he handles his substitutes poorly. And I do think that system, the 4-3-3 system, is incredible when we've got, you know, a full 11 and Klopp's ideal team that he's built and wants. But when you're missing so much key personnel and we work on, you know, perfecting the finest margins, it's got to change. And especially when there's such a large sample size of games of it not working anymore, I think there's been a bit too much stubbornness. But that's, you know, that's not a criticism of Klopp to the point I want him out or anything. I love him more than anyone. I love him more than my own parents. But
don't let them leave. Don't let them in.
I think that you know, he can, he should, he also can be questioned this season, because like some of, like a lot of our world class players, no one at the club this year has been up to their standard. I think that's gone. I think that's right through everywhere.
Yeah, and you see it so much on Twitter. Like you criticize, like people criticize Klopp for subbing off Salah against Chelsea. People criticise him for not making changes, and then when he does make changes, like, well, you just can't make you happy. I'm like, mate, the guy is not he's not some omnipotent being. He's open to criticism, and he should be criticised when he makes mistakes. And when we go on a 6-game losing streak at Anfield, despite the injuries, that should not happen. And he should be criticised for it. There's no way in hell he should be replaced. And who, as well, you know, going back to it, which I always like to do, who is working under FSG and not only getting the results that Klopp has got for the past few seasons, but is going to take us out of this rut and put us back on into, you know, a team that strikes fear into everyone who comes up against them, a stadium that no club in world football wants to go to, which it just isn't at the moment. And who do we get? It's like what you say, Richard. Who do we get? And who works under FSG, under this budget? And
2024.
Exactly. Ridiculous. End of segment.
Yep.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you all agree with us, because if you don't, you're a fool. Richie, you've got a fact for us. I'm losing. I'm 2-1 down. Let's equalise. Come on. Let's do what Liverpool can't do and score.
So I'm sticking on the topic of win rates as Liverpool manager.
Oh, God, Richie, what are you doing to me?
So I figured because you two are quite young guns, we're going to just go from 1990. All right. So which Liverpool manager since the year 1990 has the most defeats? So we'll give everyone at home 3 seconds. I'll repeat it. And I think, whose turn is it first? Liam, it's your turn.
I'm first. Oh,
your turn first every week, Liam.
Yeah. You went first. You literally went first last week.
I don't know. We need to investigate that, but I'll do that after the episode.
Everyone at home is getting more than 3 seconds, because yeah, I cannot even... Because it's got to be someone who's...
Hands up.
It's got to be someone who's been here for like long enough to accumulate enough losses for them to... And also, I can't even think of our managers during the 90s, which is really bad.
You've got to enforce some rules here. It's taking a long time.
Your time is ticking. You've got a couple of seconds left.
Right, okay. I'm going to go with...
Stalling.
No, I'm not. Shut up.
You're going to pass.
Benitez. No.
Tommy.
I want to say Roy, but I don't know if the sample size is there. Maybe even Brendan. I don't know. Brendan.
Back over to Liam.
Julier.
Back over to Tommy.
No way. Roy. He's here for about 7 years.
Roy.
No, not Roy. Back over to Liam. Come on, boys.
Oh, Souness. Oh, shit.
I don't think it is. I swear Souness weren't even there for that long. Was it Roy Evans before Julier? Have I got that wrong?
It was Roy Evans before Julier, because they joint managed for a while, but it wasn't Evans, so it's Tommy's turn, and he's going to go with...
Souness.
And that is the correct answer.
No way, man! Is that how long was he at the club for? It was like a season.
So here we go. I'll lay down some facts for you. Graham Souness lost 46 games out of 157, and he only won 66 games, giving him a 42% win rate from 1991 to 1994. Hodgson only lost 9 out of 31. He only had 31 games. He wasn't there long enough, and Tommy was right. That sample size wasn't there. But the most losses as a Liverpool manager goes to Tom Watson, who played 742 matches and lost 272 games. And that was in the 1890s.
That's not real football.
Yeah,
you have an advantage and it's still 3-1 and I'm first next week to go 4-1. Do what we did at Old Trafford all them years ago.
Oh, dear. Right, well, I need John Arnorisa to swing a bloody cross in onto my head so I can get the comeback going next week. This is not good.
You need to do a Origi-inspired comeback.
Yeah, I need Origi. Origi, Gerrard, someone, get me a comeback.
Probably not Origi.
Let's move away from this segment. I'm upset again. The worst part is, I'd be on 2 points if you didn't take that round away from me the other week. Honestly, I can't believe this. Tommy, it's your unpopular opinion this week. Let's move on from that absolute travesty.
Right, well, in true me fashion, it's about Firmino. And I'm not too sure how unpopular this actually is. But for this season, you know, although players are returning, so it might be sort of becoming outdated already, I'd like to give Firmino, or have Firmino as an option in midfield, as the eight.
Like, but you have to be smart at doing it. Origi can't do it. Sturridge couldn't do it. And they're two strikers who, you know, were at one stage very, very good strikers. I personally don't think that if you stick Harry Kane in there or if you stick Robert Lewandowski in there, they can lead a press. So Firmino, for me, is important because he vacates that space for Salah and Mane to run into. I think if you put an out-and-out goal scorer in there, you lose that. And
no, I hate that opinion so much. It's such nonsense. How many times does the ball drop and you're like, where's Firmino? And he's stood 30 yards out chilling with Thiago. Like, you get an out-and-out striker in the box. Put Firmino out dilly-dallying around in midfield where he wants to be. And I think it could work.
He'd love it. He spends half the time in a game there anyway.
Literally. I looked at his average positions for the last few games. And he stood next to Wijnaldum.
But he's not. He's playing. You're saying he plays as a 10, and I agree. I don't think he goes any deeper than that. He can't. I don't think he can.
How could he not?
Because I don't think anymore. He's got the legs for it. He's not got the legs for a box to box. He can barely, like you've said, he's just chilling with Wijnaldum because he's not getting up the pitch. To be a midfielder is completely different to be that deep line attacker, as in that false nine. He leads the first third of the pitch. I don't think he can lead the whole pitch.
He doesn't need to lead. There's people in front of him still who are going to lead it.
But that eight, isn't it? That's the Gerrard role. That's almost your Kante role. Firmino isn't that.
Richie, Gerrard's not played for Liverpool for 5 years. Get over it, man.
Slightly more. But...
Just to reinforce my point slightly further before we wrap things up. I don't know the specific numbers, but I remember ridiculous stats maybe last year, the year before, where. And obviously it was a joke about him being a defensive striker when people, you know, use that against him somehow. His tackling numbers were higher than certain centre-backs.
He can tackle. He can put the shift in.
He's got the gritty hard work about him. I'd love it.
Plus, you say Firmino can't do the box-to-box role. How many times do you see him tracking back wingers and tackling people in his own third?
That's not all game. That's not all 90 minutes. That's a rare... Same as when Salah did it the other day and everyone said, oh, look, even Mo Salah's tracking back. It was once.
But that's called position. If he's in the eight, he's going to be doing it more.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Has he got the legs to reposition himself?
Of course, he's got the legs. He's constantly running. He's not in the box. Not in the opposition box.
No, he's not even getting in the opposition box at the minute.
You mentioned we've got players coming back and you're like, oh, Origi couldn't leave the line. We don't need him to. Diogo Jota on the wing, Salah or Mane up top and then sorted. One of them three can lead the line and compress together and Firmino can play behind them.
I'm not having it. Bobby needs to stay at a nine. He can't go anywhere else.
Tommy, you've divided the hosts here and I don't know if we'll be back next week in all honesty.
Let's find out next week when we've got a brand new host. Taking auditions. Yes. Send in your audition tape first.
Brand new host?
Co-host.
This is a mutiny, and you're not coming back.
I meant to say co-host. I was on about Richie.
All right. I was going to say, I'm backing up for me now here as well, and you're still going against me.
Liam, you're spot on.
We are definitely going to wrap it up there because I don't think me and Richie are going to agree. I think I'm going purple. Yeah, definitely. Let us know in the comments. Let us know on Twitter. And let Richie know that I'm right, everyone. So thank you.
Because your hands would be on Richie's throat right now. All the way.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for entertaining our argument for this final, whatever it's been. It feels like about 10 minutes, but I don't think it's been quite that long. And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.